The next topic was presented by Neil Maripol and actually relates to what we're just talking about. The question of whether or not patients without high risk factors with stage 2 disease should have chemo discussed with them. And the audience is really split 50-50 in this right down the line. What are your thoughts?
I do agree that all patients with stage 2 disease should see medical oncologists. I do think so, because we might even have trials for them to offer. We can include patients in clinical trials. We have several ongoing clinical trials for stage 2 patients, which already indicates it's a gray zone, because we randomize some of these patients to treatment or no treatment. So, in fact, it's probably the most debated topic right now in the area of colorectal cancer. How should we handle stage 2 patients? You can talk a lot about clinical trials. Yes, we know for an unselect group of patients with stage 2 disease, there is a slight but clearly visible survival benefit, even based on the British QUASAR data, which looked at, let's say, 92% of these patients that were enrolled in this trial had stage 2, meaning Duke's B disease, unselected, and they showed a 3% benefit in overall survival, absolute benefit, when they received 5-FU in whatever flavor. So 3% increase in overall survival is kind of the ballpark what we're talking about in unselect group of patients. And you're one of the pivotal thinkers and investigators on these issues is, what do patients really want? And if we are willing to subject patients with breast cancer for a much smaller benefit to sometimes more aggressive therapies, we're sometimes hesitant to really apply the same way of thinking to colon cancer patients. And as you've pointed out in your own analysis, which you presented at ASCO GI, that there's a substantial number of patients that will actually go through even FOLFOX-based adjuvant chemotherapy for potentially even smaller benefit in the adjuvant setting, less than the 3% which was demonstrated to be true for stage 2 patients. I think when we have to discuss this with patients, and this is not just hiding behind a patient's wish and avoiding a clear-cut decision by an oncologist, but it's really because the data are not that easy. Having said that, if in my personal practice, again, when I try to summarize everything that I know from clinical trials, from the MOSAIC trial, from the QUASAR trial, etc., I do follow this idea of high-risk patients that should be considered candidates for adjuvant therapy. Because we know that some patients with so-called stage 2 disease are actually do worse than patients with so-called stage 3 disease, because overall survival curves are inferior. And this has been shown in various studies, for instance, that a patient with a T3N1 tumor might do better than a T4N0 patient, who by definition is only stage 2, and the other one would be stage 3. And this applies to colon cancer and rectal cancer, so whatever we turn and twist it. When you look at the MOSAIC trial, I think the MOSAIC trial had one interesting component which allowed us really to move things forward in clinical practice. The MOSAIC trial defined a high-risk group of patients according to clinical factors. And the appealing thing here is that these are factors every oncologist has at his disposal. It's the surgical report and the pathological report and clinical history. Was the tumor obstructing, perforating? Was it a T4 situation, undifferentiated tumor? How many lymph nodes were identified in the specimen? Because this has recently emerged as probably one of the most important prognostic factors for patients after resection of their colorectal cancers, the numbers of lymph nodes. Less than 10 or 12 lymph nodes identified, high-risk situation. So for all these factors, which does not require molecular assessment or whatever, which is being done in clinical trials right now, if one of those factors is positive, which in MOSAIC was true for about 2/3 of all patients, the patients were grouped into the high-risk category, and those patients benefited from FOLFOX with a 5% difference in, more than 5% difference in disease-free survival, and this is FOLFOX over 5-FU leucovorin, not over surgery. So if you really allow to kind of add benefits, you can say, okay, 5-FU gives you perhaps 3%, and FOLFOX gives you another 5%. So you're talking about 8% difference to compare to surgery alone for these high-risk patients, which makes it much more appealing and probably much more reasonable for to embark on adjuvant therapy in these high-risk patients. Having said that, when you now go the other way around and subtract the high-risk patients in MOSAIC from the overall group of stage 2, there's not a lot of benefit that's left behind for the low-risk stage 2 patients for oxaliplatin-based therapy. So this analysis has not been done yet, and we have no kind of pure low-risk stage 2 patient population which was ever prospectively randomized in clinical trials. But in my clinical practice, outside of a clinical trial, I tend to utilize these mentioned clinical risk factors to encourage patients to undergo adjuvant therapy. And then, of course, an oxaliplatin-based regimen.